Recently, one of the saints asked, why aren't you praying more actively for people? I said, because God wants me to have a break. So who's going to pray for us? You. You're the pastor, and you're the sheep. So I'm going to steer you on the green pasture. I want somebody to pray for me. It's the time to grow up. Get out of the bottle. It's time to eat some steak. Huh? No more milk. Isn't that what pastors do? No. Shepherds don't milk sheep. Sheep milk sheep. Shepherd guide them into green pastures, into still waters. Amen? Amen. Then I said, don't worry, sweetheart, I'm going to still be praying for people. I love to do that. But this is a time when we have to steer you from childhood into adulthood. Difficult time is coming upon the earth, and you got to be prepared to handle what is coming ahead. Last week, Sunday night, we spoke about meditation. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
I gave you Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, on the New King James. And that stirred quite some comments afterwards. What is meditation? From the bottom of my heart, I believe that meditation upon God's word is the key to becoming a successful and prosperous Christian. Why have I come to this conclusion? On Joshua 1:8, we read the following words. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So, say what? Yeah, should not get out of your mouth. What do you mean? You got to talk about the book all the time. Say amen.
Amen.
But you shall meditate in it. How long?
Day and night.
Day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous. And then I asked the Lord to give me a break. The Lord wants me to teach you a lesson in a harsh way. And I had to fast for 3 days. Please don't do that to me. Give me a break. I promise I'm going to hammer this even more. But for a moment, God thought, would you be willing to go on a 30 days, on a 30 days, 7 days without food? Yes. Yes. No food. Only a glass of water Sunday morning until next Sunday. And I'm thinking, are you sure? I mean, I'll do it. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. Am I missing something here? I mean, if I messed up, I'm ready to repent. That's a smart thing to do. The Lord said, no, I want you to collapse right while you're preaching. I said, what? What? You want me to collapse? The way that I am, I'm already shaking. I got to pray 5-6 times a week. Why you want me to collapse? So you can go to a hospital. I said, come on, Lord, come on. You're not serious, are you? He said, that will cause the congregation to get concerned about you. And then I will raise you back so that you can tell them that when you eat once a week, you will collapse. I said, everybody knows that. And then the Lord says, this is how they are on their spiritual life. They eat only Sunday morning, then they starve until the next Sunday morning. They are about to collapse. Many of them are dizzy right now, disoriented, without any clue what to do when they start getting hit left and right. Because they fail to feed themselves on the word every day. So I had actually to fast for him not to let me do this. I don't like falling. Are we together here?
Yes.
All my life I fell twice. And it's a miserable feeling. The Bible tells us here that this book should never depart from our mouth. And I believe that when God speaks something like this, there is no room, no room for anything else. On the New Living Translation, it goes a little bit more interesting. Watch this. Study this book of instruction. How often? Once you finish studying, what else you have to do? Meditate on it. How long? That's too much Bible. I like to watch Survivor. You ain't going to survive if you're not meditating on the book. You're starving spiritually. Why should I do that? So you'll be sure to obey everything that is written on the book. And why should I obey everything on the book? You want to be prosperous, don't you? You want to succeed in everything that you do, don't you? So what's the key? Meditate on the book day and night. So when I go to Hebrew and I look at the word meditate is the word hagah. Say hagah. And the word hagah literally means to mutter. M-U-T-T-E-R. Mutter. It literally means that I take pleasure, that I ponder, and that I speak it, that I utter. In other words, it means that I speak it to myself. And in today's world, people will think that you're crazy when you're talking to yourself. Isn't that right? But the Bible is saying that I should mutter this book day and night. I should talk to myself this book day and night. So, meditation then is literally hearing myself speak forth the word of God out of my mouth. Say amen. Say again, preacher. Meditation is hearing myself speaking forth the word of God out of my mouth. This is why he say that it should be constantly in our lips. Now give me the backslide of the translation here, brother. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Meditation. Now, unfortunately, we have members, well, it's not members, congregants, in our church that meditate a lot, but not on the word of God. One of the folks that attend here practice yoga. There's nothing wrong with yoga. If you're a Christian, yes, there is something wrong with yoga. Because yoga is rooted in Satanism. When you give yourself a chance to let your mind wander away. Guess what? If God wants you to mind to wander away, he wouldn't give you a mind. So when your mind wanders away, demons jump in. And then you can't get your mind back because demons, when they get out of somebody, they go through dry places looking for a body to stay. And when they can't find a body to jump in, they say, you know what? I'll go back. And when they come back and it's all clean and neat, they jump in, bring seven worse than them, and then the person that is meditating now has eight demons instead of one. Somebody just says, you're an extremist. I ain't. God is. If there would be room for transcendental meditation or yoga, that would be mentioned in the Bible. If that would be something that would have put you at ease, God would have told us that in the Bible. On the contrary, every time that the Bible speaks about meditation, it speaks about meditating on the Word of God. And it says day and night. I received, once I moved in where I'm living right now, a letter from a church. You're new to the neighborhood? Welcome to our congregation. Da 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 da. We have yoga classes, blah, 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 blah. So meditation is literally hearing yourself speak forth the word of God out of your own mouth. Why is it so important to speak forth the word of God day in and out, day in and day out? Why is it so important for you and I to mutter the word of God? Because by doing this, it will produce faith within your heart. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen to Deuteronomy 30:14. This is not Paul's craziness. No, this is the word of God. Meditate. Let me give it again to you, brother. Deuteronomy 30:14. Good. Meditate. Haggah is me, is speaking to myself, or speaking forth the word of God. Why do I have to speak forth the word of God? But the word is where?
In your mouth.
Wow. And
in your
heart. That. Aha! The word is very near you. The word is in your mouth. And then in your heart. Why? So you can get used to it and start doing the word. Now, when you go to the New Testament in the book of Romans, on chapter 10, verse 8, you find exactly the same scripture on Romans 10, 8. And they told God, I'm going to hammer on this because I don't want to fall back here so you guys can take me to the hospital just to teach you that you need to study the word and stop starving yourself to death. Romans 10, 8. But what does it say? Where? What kind of word? Meditation is when you're muttering, when you're talking back to yourself, the word of God, the same word of faith that we preach. It's supposed to be on our lips day in and day out. Why? The same chapter of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, tells you why you have to be muttering the word of God. So then faith comes and if I am muttering, if I'm speaking the word back to myself day in and day out, when I get a chance, that word will build faith in me. And the more I speak, the stronger my faith will become. I really love the message of John Macon about faith. Mistakenly, people think about faith as quantity. But never on the scripture, quantity is mentioned. Quality is mentioned. And the enemies of this argument will say, well, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Unfortunately, you have a messed up language that cannot fully translate what he's talking about. What is translated for little faith is actually weak faith. The Bible says that God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. So if I have a little faith, God made a mistake. He didn't give me enough faith. How many times have God made a mistake? So it's bad translation. So if I need my faith to get better, I need to mutter. I need to talk to myself the word of God day in and day out. By doing this, I'm going to renew my mind. The Bible talks about renewing the mind, not letting the mind get away from our body. We are bombarded on a daily basis by so many junk all around us. In Romans 12, verse 2, a scripture that's well known to everybody here, teaches us that instead of letting the mind go away through transcendental meditation, what in the world is transcendental meditation? It's when I'm doing yoga, I'm letting my mind go into places that are peaceful, calm, serene. And then the demons all jump in. When I try to get my mind back, the house is already full. And then our minds become a mechanical shop of demons. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds don't need to transcend our bodies to go into a different realm. No, our mind needs to be transformed. And here's the problem with yoga. Everybody's doing this, preacher. You're wasting your time. Everybody's doing yoga. And so what? It says in here, do not be conformed. You know what in Greek literally it would say? Do not be fashioned alike to this world. Do not conform to the same pattern of this world. So if the world is meditating on yoga, I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. I tell people I like pumpkin, the real pumpkin, not the one that you guys have here, the real one. When you go to H Mart, you get some sweet pumpkin over there. There's no water on the pumpkin. It's almost like it's potato. The foreigners here know what I'm talking about. I like pumpkin. Get some pumpkin cook and eat it with coffee and milk. Whew, that's sweet. But I will not eat pumpkin in September, October, November, and December. Why? Because the whole world is using pumpkin for the wrong reason. Are you with me here? When it comes to April, everybody's diving into fish. I will bite the thickest steak I can bite. Why? I'm not going to be fashioned according to the world pattern. My mind needs to be renewed, not wandered away. And this is why we don't practice yoga. In other words, don't be conformed means don't have the same lifestyles, the same thoughts, the same deeds that unsaved people has. Why are you saying all this? Because I want to bring you to one thing. The Lord put me to watch something that I never saw before. I saw it today. That thing was in my mind. I was looking on the Greek New Testament. And the word transformed here is the word metamorphosis. Have we heard that word before? And the word metamorphosis means to undergo a complete physical change in form, in function, in substance, or structure. Are you listening to me? He's saying, and be transformed, metamorphosis, and undergo a complete physical change. How do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. Glory to God. It's a metamorphosis going on right now. I don't understand, preacher. Are you ready for a change? Everybody out there is having heat stroke. Is that right? It's too hot. You will not have heat stroke. Because the word, when you're muttering the word, it says that you shall not be affected by plagues, no pestilence that desolate at noonday, at noontime. So when everybody's having heat stroke and falling back, you keep going, baby, like the Energizer Bunny. Because you're energized by high power. We do not follow the fashion like the world follow out there. Oh, it's pollen season, and so what? Let the pollen come. Jesus is ready for it. And we're going to go through. There is a metamorphosis taking place when this tragedy, this catastrophe, or whatever comes around, we are muttering the word of God. We are muttering the word of God, talking to ourselves the word of God, and a metamorphosis takes place. I was just watching, how you call that stuff? Caterpillar. I was watching a caterpillar actually go through the transformation. The Lord has been hammering this thing in my head. You got to explain to people so they can understand. Caterpillar is one of the ferocious larvae that there is. In some places, it's considered a plague because it will eat all the leaves and eat and eat and eat. And that little thing, I'm thinking, where do they put all this thing that they are eating? I mean, if you look at the little lousy thing, it's like, what, 3-4 inches? You know, thick as my finger, and chop, 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 chop. Next morning you wake up and all the leaves are gone. And then when the time of metamorphosis comes, it gets itself stuck with a bunch of them to a piece of wood hanging upside down. And somebody took the time to actually video this thing. It's on YouTube. And you see that the old skin of the caterpillar starts ripping apart. And it starts contracting itself. And then a new thing is coming out. And it starts ripping and ripping and ripping. And you literally see the caterpillar squeeze the last breath out of itself. And that the bubble bursts. Here comes a butterfly. And I'm thinking, do not be conformed with this world, but be metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind. Let that transformation take place where the old will rip apart and the new stuff that is within you, with and by the word of God, burst into life and into existence. And this is why I say sickness can't have a chance with me. Got to go. You can't stick here. There's a metamorphosis taking place day in and day out because we are muttering the word of God. We are talking to ourselves the word of God. You know, I would say that our mind is not completely renewed until we are at the point where no matter what the circumstances may be, we instantly, without thinking, do the will of God. And this will affect how we receive our healing. The mind has its seat in the organ called brain. The brain is made of living tissue, and it is affected by our bodily functions and physical chemistry. In other words, the brain is like a muscle. It grows stronger with exercise and becomes weak if unexercised. So what you're saying? Meditation is exercising the brain with the Word of God. When we speak, we exercise the physical part as well as the mental part of our brain. And I'll tell you, I think meditation should always be active. What do you mean? The reason that the Bible says for you to meditate on the Word day and night is because while we are doing mundane tasks, we can be meditating on the Word of God. I told the folks Tuesday morning, Dr. Dalton said that if I don't start to exercise, I'm not going to make to inauguration. I told him, baloney. That's baloney. I bind that word in the name of Jesus. I will make to inauguration. But I realized I'm bent out of shape. So I had an old dinosaur bicycle in the house. What is a dinosaur bicycle? The one that weighs 150 pounds, you know. And I decided to go to the BWI trail. And I'll tell you, at the end of the first 2 miles, I was and I'm grasping for air. Somebody stops it. Are you okay, man? Yeah, yeah. Bent out of shape. Yeah. I jump on the bike, and here comes a little hill. It's as high as this little hill to enter the temple here. And it took me about 20 minutes to pedal that thing. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what? Immediately, I can do all things to Christ Jesus. I don't want to embarrass myself to push the bike. Come on. Everybody passing at high speed. And I'm waiting. Maybe they will give me a break. I can push this thing up. But it seems like all the bikers decide to go through for the next 30 minutes on that thing. So let's go, boy. And you pedal three times, and then you get tired, you get down. You pedal three times again, you get down. You pedal three times again, and then you get up on the top of the hill. Grasping for air. Well, I thought, we'll be smart if I just turn around. But then I said, no, there's bigger hill. I'm going to cut through, I think it's 175. I made a left, and I'm going towards the aircraft watching area, crossover, and here comes another little hill, and then my legs wants to give away. I couldn't go. And all the cars passing by looking at me. I said, great, can't you all look to another place? But you know what? I can do all things to Christ Jesus. And I get into that bike. I can do all things. It took me 30 minutes to pedal 100 feet. But I made it. I did not push my bike up. I am muttering. I am muzzling the Word of God. I am speaking the Word of God. Next time I go again, still having the dinosaur bike, I did a little bit better. And then the Lord blessed me with a hybrid bike. I didn't even know that there is something called hybrid bike. I did different. On the moment I jump on that bike, I can do all things to Christ Jesus, who strengthens my legs. And I'm muttering, I can do all things to Christ Jesus. I can do all things to Christ Jesus. Somebody says, how you doing, man? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You know? And I'm pedaling. And I did 6 miles, and I stopped only one time. And the reason that I stopped is because we have two Hindustani people that almost fell apart, and before they got hit by a car, I had to stop on the and hit the brake and stop before it could hit them. And I just went around, jumped on my bike, and I went again. It's not yet at full speed, but I'm getting there. I'm muttering the Word of God. Meditating on the word day and night, you're talking back to yourself the word of God. And as you do that, it's just like a caterpillar, chuck, 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 devouring that leaf. And it accumulates a lot of energy to the point of transforming a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Folks, meditation should and must always be upon the Word of God. That's why when I meditate, sometimes I gesture. I just raise my hand. Or I pedal my bike. So what you're saying? That we should express ourselves vigorously when we are meditating on the Word of God. When we meditate, we are not just programming our mind. We are rebuilding our thought process. Say amen. Amen. Tadpoles becomes adult frogs. Y'all know that, right? Yes. And you know that limestone, how many people know what's limestone? Limestone, that thing that, you know, nobody gives nothing to it, is transformed by heat and pressure into marble. Did you know that? If you Google it, when you put the heat and pressure into limestone, it becomes marble. I was blown away when I'm looking into metamorphosis and different things that happen. Did you know that carbon is transformed by heat and the pressure into diamonds? And the women love that, that's right. The unrenewed mind is like carbon, dark and sooty. A lump of coal by itself has a little value, but a diamond by comparison is valuable, is beautiful, enduring, and will bend the will of the wise. I didn't hear an amen on this one. The process of meditation transforms our minds from dark carbon to a brilliant jewel reflecting the rainbows of God's glory and light in our lives. In other words, the renewed mind is priceless. Did you know that people who are weightlifters knows that they must exercise their muscles until they begin to feel hot and tender? Did you know that? Well, there's a trainer here. Is that true, Mr. Trainer? When the old tissues have broken down, guess what? New and stronger tissues will replace the old ones. The same analogy holds true with the mind. You need to actively meditate upon the promises until your brain sweats. I'm talking this figuratively, right? Make your brain work. Be tough on yourself. Your brain will complain with all that memorizing of God's word. Your brain will complain. But guess what? Your brain is not your master. You are the master of your brain. So make it obey and serve you. When we do that, we are changing the tissues of our brains. New tissues will accept the word of God easily. What do you mean? The more you speak the word of God, the more you memorize the word of God, the more you ponder on the word of God, your brain will complain. You keep talking, make your brain obey you, and guess what? It will sweat your brain. It will get hot. And when the new cells are developed, it will do better because the Word of God is already in there. You may say, that's not biblical. This same verse that you have here, Paul spoke to the Ephesians. Brother, give me up there, Ephesians 4:23. It's exactly the same verse, but there is a change that I'm going to use to talk about making your brain sweat and work for you. Ephesians 4:23 says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Somebody may ask, I didn't know that mind had a spirit. Poor translation. When you get home, go to your concordance and look at the word spirit. The word spirit over there is ananeos in Greek. And the word ananeos means temper. T-E-M-P-E-R. It comes from the word ana, which means to temper, to repeat intensively. Isn't that something? And the word nails is where you get the word news. I'm gonna watch the news. Fresh, regenerated. Paul is saying here, and be renewed in the ananeos, in the repetition, intensively repeating the news to your mind. Did you get that? Isn't that something? Just by looking at it, ananeos. In other words, be renewed by tempering your mind. And how do I temper my mind? By repeating intensively the good news of God's Word. And this is why the Bible says that we should not allow this Word to depart from our lips day and night. Did you know that temper is what the blacksmith does to a piece of steel? He takes a piece of malleable iron, puts it into the forge, and heats it until it's glowing. Woohoo! Then he hammers it into the proper shape and carefully heats it again. Finally, he quenches the heat by putting the iron into a cool liquid. That's his tempering. This process makes soft iron hard and tough. A sharp, keenly renewed mind is a great tool for every believer. Work on ananeos, tempering your mind for toughness. How do I do that? Sharpen your word skills. Become more effective. Learn how to master your thoughts and make your brain work for you. Well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. Have you ever heard that expression, you are what you eat? Listen to Luke 4:4. The very first part of the sentence. Huh? Luke 4:4. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall not live by bread alone. There's something else to be added to the diet. What is it? Every word of God. Why is that so important, preacher? Because Jesus said in John 6:63, the following words. It is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak. So, if man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, and the words that he speak unto us, there is spirit and life, we suppose to eat the word of God. We should be careful what we are eating on a daily basis, and this is why the television can be quite a distraction on the life of people. I like to eat beef, and everybody knows that. And if the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God, I think we should be careful on the things that we are choosing to eat in the word of God. Follow me here. I eat beef every day, but I haven't become a cow yet. Are you with me here? We eat vegetables every day, but we haven't become a veg yet. Is that right? Why are you saying this? Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, speaking about food. Is that correct? But we should live also in the menu should be the word of God. Why? When I eat beef, I do not become a cow. But a metamorphose takes place, and the cow meat becomes part of me, not the other way around. Are you all following me what I'm saying here now? When I eat cabbage, I do not become a veggie. The cabbage becomes part of me. It becomes my meat. When I eat the word of God, I become more like God. Because that very word becomes part of my body. Becomes part of who I am. And it strengthens me to overcome in tough times. When you eat the word of God, it is built into your being. Jesus was the Word, wasn't he? Which became flesh. We are flesh becoming Word. Are you following me here? Jesus was the Word that became flesh. We are flesh becoming the Word. You know, I believe that a lot of preacher likes chicken. Every single preacher that came through our congregation, when we take them to the restaurant, chicken is their favorite food. Here you go again talking about food. Why? Because meditating is like eating the Word of God. Now, we should be peculiar about this. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to do something very simple that many Christians don't do it today. What are you talking about? Watch this. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I'm going to give a shot now. What do you think that rightly dividing the word of truth means? Somebody, take a shot at me. What does it mean? Rightly dividing the word of truth. One at a time. Okay. Okay.
Applying the word of God to your life.
Okay.
Explaining it properly.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Now let me take you back now to the preachers. On the old days, God was very peculiar to tell us what type of food we could eat. Y'all remember that? The Lord says that we should distinguish between clean beasts and unclean. How do you make, what's the criteria? How do you distinguish between them? A beast acceptable for food had to have a divided hoof and must chew the cud. Y'all remember that? Pigs have divided hoof, but they have a straight gut. They don't chew the cud. Pigs will eat anything and everything, good or bad. Cows or sheep, deer, on the other hand, they are more discriminate about their diet. They have cloven hooves and they chew the cud. What I mean? They will eat the hay and spit out the sticks. They bring their food back up several times and we chew it thoroughly. I don't understand. What does it got to do with meditation? Some Christians will eat anything without meditating upon it. Be careful about what you meditate upon. Don't be a spiritual pig. Remember, you are a sheep. Say amen. So how do I go this meditating, dividing the word? Now you got me confused. When I take a preacher to eat at the restaurant and they ask for chicken, guess what? They will only eat the meat, not the feathers, nor the bone. Isn't that right? When I ask for a steak, I don't want the leather that comes covering that steak. I just want the steak. You stay with me? Still with me, right? I don't understand. Don't meditate on doubt and disaster. Is anybody listening to me here? Don't meditate on doubt and disaster. Feed upon the good word of God. Feed upon the promises of God. We have this brother down south. He is really that kind of guy that you call them a happy pagan. He'll have all the answers for every problem in the world. But then when difficult hit, he's all, he doesn't know what to do. And he's praying and praying and praying. Ask God an answer. And God would never answer. So he says, Lord, I'm going to open your word. And the first verse that I put my finger on, I'm going to do it. He opened the word and it says, and Judas went out and died. He closed the Bible again. You know, some Christians are just like spiritual pigs. Meditate on the promises of God. Rightly divide the word of truth. Well, if God don't want me to meditate, why didn't he put that in the Bible? So that you can learn that when you choose the wrong way, you're going to die. That is an instruction, not a way of living. Rightly dividing the word of truth is meditating upon the good word of God. Is going through and sort it out. Just like when you're going to eat a chicken in a restaurant, you don't want to eat the feathers and the bones and the nails. You want the meat. And this is what God is saying to us. The other fellow, same problem. Lord, I've been praying and praying, and you ain't doing nothing to me. So, Lord, I'm going to go to church tonight, and I'm going to kneel down, and I'm going to stop praying. And the first sister that sits by my side, I'm going to marry her. So he goes to church, he kneels down, and he is praying energetically. Then all of a sudden, he smells sweet perfume. And he has his head down. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And he's carried away. What he doesn't know, that nice perfume is from a 72 years old single woman with no teeth on the top, huh, that had never got married. And she just sit down. The fellow is 38 years old. She's twice older than he is. When he opened his eyes, she goes, hi, how are you? He looks up, hey, Lord, I was just kidding. Folks, let's rightly divide the word of God. Let's feed on the promises, not on the disasters. We are not spiritual pigs. We are sheep. Meditate upon the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16 comes to a close on my meditation tonight. How do you eat the word of God? Just like you eat your food. It goes into your mouth first. Then you chew it by speaking it daily, several times. And eventually it slides into your belly, it slides into your brain, and you can live a vigorous, victorious life in the presence of God. Listen to this. That's my concluding words. Jeremiah said, your words were found. And I? And? So what you're saying, preacher? Meditation is when you mutter. Meditation is when you repeat to yourself the word of God. Meditation is when you find the word of God rightly divided, get a hold of the promises, you speak the promises out loud to you, day in and day out, and they eventually, out of your mouth, will go down into your system, and they will become sweet. And this is what's going to give you the strength to prosper, to succeed in everything that you do. May God help us to divide rightfully his word in the name of Jesus. Build the word into the tissues of your brain. Turn the heat of the Holy Spirit and make your brain sweat. Make your brain like a pressure cooker. Distill the word into every cell of your body. Let the word percolate out through your actions. Let us not be only a hearer, but a doer of the word. Once the word gets into our mouth, it will also get into our brain. And it will give us the victory that God has intended for us. Would you bow your heads with me? In the name of Jesus, Lord, set us free from Middle Eastern religions. Set us free from paganism. Hinduism, yoga, transcendental meditation, all the garbage out there. We are so quickened to jump into garbage like this. And yet, when it comes to your word, we are lazy. Give us a desire to eat your word, to speak your word, to talk to ourselves your word on a daily basis, day and night, so that we can feast like kings. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Brother? Who is in charge? Brother Tom.